Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to all the enlightened listeners of IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab, your devoted host, ready to take you on a captivating journey through Islamic upbringing. Together, we'll explore the challenges and questions surrounding raising children with Islamic values. Experts' insights rooted in the noble Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family, will guide us along this path. Well, today we have Brother Miqdad in the studio. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Very warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, brother, we have a concept in our religion of tawalla and tabarra. And today, because of many, I would say, the media propaganda or many other things, or maybe you sometimes live in different environments, as we were talking about, you know, creating strong Muslim identity before, sometimes facing such situations or living in societies when you don't have everyone from your particular sect or particular community, this happens so much at these places. Then, you know, you have these people who come and say, you know, as long as you're saying la'an to someone, as long as you're doing tabarra towards someone, you should be sending salutations, or you should be doing tawalli instead of doing tabarra. What are your thoughts on that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So there's a few points. Let's clear them out first. Firstly, we should be taking back the approach that the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt have taught us. And that is that there is a balance between these two. These two, you could say that there are two wings, that we need to be using them in the right way without exaggerating one over the other. The concept of tawalla is to have this emotional affection and emotional attachment to the Ahlul Bayt, to the prophets, to the awliya, to the good and pious individuals, in a way that this love then leads us to follow them and to do what they tell us to do and to adopt their traits.
Right.
And then we have the concept of tabarra, which is to distance ourselves from the enemies of Allah, from those who reject the religion of Islam and they want to destroy the religion of Islam. We distance ourselves from them, and the reason why we do this, distances ourselves emotionally from them, is because we make sure that we don't follow their footsteps and we don't adopt the traits that they have. So in emotion and in actions, we know what our stance is. So that's the first thing. And saying that we should do tawalla over tabarra is not correct. And saying that, for example, we should not have any hate, we should not have any sort of distancing, we should be tolerant towards everybody, we should accept everybody, we should be full of love, religion is a religion of mercy. That's an exaggeration that is not correct, and that's rejected by Islam as well.
Okay.
Right? We have the concept of tabarra in Islam. In the Holy Quran, it's mentioned very specifically in the Hadith as well. So we cannot neglect this aspect as well. And it's a very natural, normal thing I just explained to you, and it makes very much sense, right?
Right.
And on the other side, people who over-exaggerate this concept of tabarra, saying that we should focus mainly on the concept of la'ana, cursing the certain individuals, certain religious figures. We should be full of teaching our children how to hate and how to distance and how to curse, and even by name, and using every opportunity to do such a thing. And that's over-exaggeration of this concept of tabarra. Tabarra has its role, but we need to understand where its role is and how to go about it, handling it in different situations according to the circumstances of the time that we live in.
Right. So the first thing that you cleared for us is that both tawalla and tabarra are important. They go hand in hand. They are like two wings. And you have to make a balance between them. You don't have to exaggerate the tawalla. You don't have to exaggerate even tabarra. So while you're not exaggerating things, things could be okay. Things could be balanced. And that's how children would learn. And we will delve a little more deeper into this topic after a short break. The listeners, stay tuned.
Wait, stop! I got a better game!
IRIB English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. Englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Brother McLeod is with us and helping us to teach children who are kind of distancing themselves in today's world from the concept of tabarra, which Brother McLeod said is mentioned in the Holy Quran as well as the narrations.
Just to emphasize, when we talk about tabarra, we are talking about an emotional aspect as well, right? Sometimes you hear that we want to turn this into a very rational thing only. No, there is an emotional hatred that comes with tabarra, which is we really do hate certain individuals, we do hate certain actions, we do hate certain traits. Just like you know that certain individuals committed very bad crimes against humanity, you naturally have this emotional of hatred. I don't have any liking for this person.
Right.
Right. And this liking naturally follows an action and a trait that I want to stay away from. Right. The fact, for example, that he's committed a crime, I want to stay away from that crime. I would never do such a crime.
Right.
This feeling of hatred brings about this idea and this action that I will never do such a thing.
I will never do that.
And I will stay away from this. This trait that they have, whether it's arrogance, whether it's the love of this world, or whether it's taking bribery, for example, whatever trait that led to this action that they performed that I hate so much, naturally I will stay away from it. So this is the role of tabarra. And so hatred has a place. Now, what we need to understand, however, is that this concept of tabarra is very sensitive, right? Because it has consequences, especially because we need to realize that as Muslims and as Shias, we are a minority.
Minority.
We live in a society that we, in most cases at least, that we are a minority. And so being open and being very careless about how we deal with this hatred, how do we deal with this tabarra, is causing more problems and has negative consequences than solving our problems and really
right.
leading it to what we need to do. So it's the way we deal with it that's very important. And this is why we have the concept of taqiyya in Islam, right? That the concept of not necessarily have to show everything out there. We don't necessarily have to expose everything we out there. In fact, it's actually, we don't even require religious teachings for this. It's, a human being understands that I can't say everything that's in my heart. I can't expose them. Naturally, I have to have certain secrets. So everybody cannot understand what I understand. Everybody can't feel what I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, some people, because of their different circumstances, their different background, different culture, they don't understand my perspective of life.
Right.
They don't understand how I see certain things. And naturally, I won't say it
mm-hmm.
because it'll go to waste, because it'll cause me more problems and more, and will not benefit me to any case. And this is what we call taqiyah, to kind of be aware that there are certain things that might not be accepted by others, and therefore I don't have to say it, to
right.
preserve and to make sure that it's not wasted.
Right, so that's important. And I think all this requires really great skills for parents to teach all that to children, because that, I think it's even hard for parents to do that, you know, to be not expressing themselves all the time, or you know, practicing taqiyya or practicing tawalla or tabarra or creating a balance between them. It's a big challenge for even parents themselves. Now, when it comes to upbringing, it's again a big challenge. And Brother Miqdad is here to help us more on the topic after a short break.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "He who recites the Quran before puberty has indeed been given wisdom in his childhood."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We are with Brother Miqdad, and Brother Miqdad is helping us how to teach the concept of tabarra to children who are distancing themselves from these concepts. Yes, Brother Miqdad.
Another point to keep in mind is that children don't necessarily need to know everything, right? They don't need to know the intricacies of what happened in history or certain names, for example. And then we as parents don't necessarily need to show them to express these things. We have to shout out loud, for example,
right?
Or curse in a way that might be offensive to others. See, the concept of curse is very different from being offensive or being insulting.
Mm-hmm.
Cursing means to distance or to pray to Allah that the mercy of Allah doesn't fall on certain individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's a reality, right?
Right?
If somebody has committed a crime, a very horrible crime against humanity, then naturally Allah's mercy won't fall on them. They've decided to do something that brought about Allah's anger. And so by me cursing, what I'm doing is I'm agreeing with Allah what Allah wanted.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that children might not necessarily understand, right? So, and children, by their fitrah, they naturally want to stay away from these crimes. So when we teach history to children, when we teach them what happened to the Ahlul Bayt, for example, we obviously have to mention the bad guys. We have to mention that they did certain bad things.
Right.
Not
necessarily starting with the names.
Exactly. And not necessarily with that we have to curse them and this is how we curse them, because unfortunately today it's sometimes seen as offensive to others, and so
right.
we need to be careful. So that's the first point. However, some people might say, then if we don't do these things, then how will children learn about what happened?
Right.
So again, I mentioned that children need to learn what happened. We're not saying we should be hiding it from children. Yes, I know that in certain countries we can't. So for example, in certain countries, when it comes to Ayam Fatimiyya and the remembrance of the Shahada of Bibi Fatima, certain things that we can't be said.
Right.
Yes. Or certain things have to be said in a particular way without necessarily mentioning names or without necessarily being so explicit about things. But that's fine. That doesn't mean that when you come home, we can't have a conversation about it.
Right.
It doesn't mean that when you come home, you can't elaborate a little bit further and teach children, okay, this is really what happened. We couldn't say everything in public, but you should know these things.
Right.
And you should also know how to handle it. Don't go at school, for example, pointing out fingers. And lastly, is to very much be careful when we do la'an and we have this tabarra, is to differentiate between the leaders of a particular
sect
or a particular religion or a particular ideology and the people as well.
Right.
Right? In most cases, even when we come to, not just land, even when we come to, for example, when we talk about when you talk about the U.S., for example, right? You know, children are learned to, for example, hate the U.S. for the crimes that they've done against humanity, right? But then what about the American people?
Right.
Same concept over here. We have to teach our children that you need to differentiate between the leaders, whether today's leaders or the leaders in history who did really bad things to the Ahlul Bayt, and the people today who might be following those leaders, but they don't know what the bad things were committed.
Exactly.
And they're not necessarily those people that we need to... We are not being negative or insulting or offensive or even hating people from that sect.
Right.
We distance ourselves from their leaders, for example, but in a different way, in a way that... Still has respect with the people.
Right. Thank you so much, Brother McDowell, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all.